All right, here we go. Overdrive, off and running. TSN 1050 on the TSN app. Your home smart speaker up on TSN 4. Brian Hayes, Yo Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan.
What's up?
How's everyone doing? Groundhog Day. Happy Groundhog Day.
Hang on a sec. One area.
Hang on a sec, guys. Yep. Hazy, I know you don't like to start the show with heavy type stuff. 5 second moment of silence for Fred, and then we will explain. Head down.
R.I.P. Fred. R.I.P. Fred.
Tell him what happened.
Yeah, this is a tough scene. Fred La Marmotte is he's a groundhog in Quebec. I guess every province has their own groundhog.
I didn't know that. I'm not privy to that information.
I didn't know that either. Like, we had a tough year last year in Ontario because Wyarton Willie passed away, right?
I didn't.
Fred, he was supposed to shine.
Yeah. Fred, it was Fred's. They were prepared for Fred, and Fred, he didn't make it. like they were.
I don't
there.
Want Pam Anderson or PETA or anything to get after him.
No.
But it's sad. They went in the thing to get Fred, and he was toast.
Like, people were there, right? Like, if you live in one of these towns, if you live in Punxsutawney, if you live in Wyarton.
Dude, it's an event.
It's the whole thing. Like, there are fireworks going off at 5 in the morning, which probably scares the hell out of the groundhog.
It's so weird.
But I couldn't imagine being a part of those festivities.
I've never believed in it.
Of course not. It's a groundhog. What do you mean you never believed in it?
Well, you're the singers, people that show up. Who shows up to a groundhog ceremony?
And how can you take it seriously when there's 100 different groundhogs all coming up with different stuff?
That's the issue.
It's a reason to put Bailey's in your coffee and go watch the hog.
Right.
Let's make sure we're not offending anybody here, but I just think it's sad, first and foremost, that the animal passed away. Yes.
Yes.
But it's just, I don't even know. My son, who's 5, learned it at school yesterday. When I picked him up, he was telling me if the groundhog sees its shadow,
it's six more weeks of spring.
And all.
Or winter.
I have no idea. Or if not, you get one extra day of spring. I had no idea what the groundhog rules are.
It's completely arbitrary. You think the groundhog knows what the hell's going on? He comes out once a year. He's like, why are all these people staring at me? How do you know if he saw a shadow or not? That's another thing that no one can say. And up here, guess what? In the middle of March, it's still winter.
Yeah.
Okay? Even if Wyarton Willie or Charcuterie Sam out in Nova Scotia doesn't see their shadow, it's still cold in 6 weeks.
I just don't
like
understand.
It's not an early spring up here.
No, it's not going to be Fort Lauderdale up here in 6 weeks.
It doesn't happen. It doesn't matter.
The only thing I think is great about Groundhog Day is the movie.
It's a very good movie.
That's a classic.
A classic. I think slightly overrated, personally.
Yeah.
But good movie. Good premise.
Halfway through it, when he realizes every day is a new day. And the guy's like, Ned Ryerson? And he suckers him.
Yeah, exactly.
That's one of my favorite scenes.
It is
good. Bill Murray is so upset. He just starts doing weird things.
Murray's perfect for that role.
It's a doozy.
Yeah. Murray's perfect for that role. It is a good movie. It's a really good movie. I don't think you're offending anyone, Noodles, by saying that you don't believe in the witchcraft of a groundhog determining weather patterns. Like, that is not... I think it's offensive if you believed in it. I think that's offensive.
You think the weather...
Like, you took it to heart and went home and said...
Shorts in March.
Or bear down, guys. It's going to be a long one.
Hey, did you hear? We're in trouble.
Yeah.
I'd be offended by that.
Anyway,
I think that's an
R.I.P.
issue.
Fred.
R.I.P. Yeah. Fred.
Give him some love.
I got an idea for a little bit later. Because, and Noodles, I don't know where your head's going to be on this. But I put together a list.
Okay.
Who do you trust more? The groundhog or ...
love that.
Or Ben Simmons. Or...
Absolutely. There you go. Who or what?
That'd be great. Yeah.
White pants on a hot day. Just as an example, don't give me your answer. We'll get to that a little bit later on. That's a
I'll just
flip.
Answer that right yeah. now. I would never trust white pants on a hot day.
So you trust a groundhog yeah. over white pants on a hot day.
What was that guy
saying? I'll take the dead groundhog in Quebec yes. over white pants
so
on a hot day.
So would I.
Was
white
it
pants.
Sean Ryder the other day?
Sammy Ryder.
He
had a pair of maroon...
And, man, yeah. did they get some buzz. The whole golf world was talking about it. And it's like Justin Thomas wears pants like that all the time. But yeah. for some reason, Sam Ryder's just got everyone's attention.
Yeah,
I think it was like when Thomas has worn it, and he has, they're usually black. They're a right. like he was. I think it was they were maroon. I don't know. Who cares?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the style now. It's an athletic gear, and like Mickelson wearing, was chirping online. And
yeah, if he's wearing, that's what I'm saying. If he's wearing white and he knows that.
Oh, yeah.
He's got some
John Rahm and Homa and
exactly,
Morikawa chasing him.
That's the level of yes. concern.
You're course. Right. If Tiger's wearing white pants on a Sunday, he's fine.
No problem.
No problem at all.
Yeah.
Sammy Ryder, white hot pants, day. Hot day. Rombo chasing him. That's a concern.
Mm-hmm.
That's
anyway,
a big
I went
concern.
Down to that Leaf game last night, and I want to give a shout-out to the security guard right outside of the alumni box. I think her name is Lori Lynn.
Mm-hmm.
I showed my ticket, and she said, "Good job today, you crony."
Yes, that's outstanding.
And then I look back and I started laughing. She goes, "I don't miss a show."
Yeah, she loves
Overdrive and loves the crony talk.
Well, I think a lot of people support the crony talk, and we love Lori Lynn. Yeah, we love Lori Lynn. I think I've had a stop and chat with Lori Lynn down there in the alumni box.
Well, I hope you were escorted by an alumni.
Yes, of course. I've never tried to go in there without an alumni.
Yeah, that's true.
That's, I mean, it just
standing
it wouldn't...
at the door, like waving to people.
Yeah,
hey, there's Carlo. Hey, Carlo, it's me. Hey,
it wouldn't work. Yeah. But you were down there, so you got to see it up close and personal. And it wasn't. I mean, listen, that Bruins team—they had lost three in a row. You knew they were going to show up. It adds insult to injury that Marchand steals the show during the day and he's chirping people. And, you know, he shows up. He played pretty well last
Stars
night.
Stars were kind of quiet, though. Like
yeah, I didn't think he had a great night. Like, it's not like Marchand was in the middle of everything.
You know, he's so good at protecting the puck. Like, that's the one thing that was on display.
That whole team is.
Yeah, but the details that they have, I was telling you off air, that's the one thing that was so evident in that Bruins team. You're right. They were engaged. They were pissed. Lost three in a row. What did you say to me? The Leafs were on break. Like they were
getaway day.
Getaway
it was a getaway
like
baseball
like they
day.
Looked a little,
it's like let's just get out of here. No harm, no foul. It was terrible. It was.
But like that Bruins team, especially like a guy like Marchand, he's good at stealing pucks, retrieving pucks. A lot like Marner. Like you know, they're stronger on their sticks. They're sneakier than you think that they are. You know, just when you think they're out of it, they're in it and. They're a serious team.
That's why they're the best team in the league right now. Yeah. I mean, what you saw last night, they don't give up an inch. Every line, every pairing supplies production. And, like, defensively, really sound. The Leafs had to work for everything last night.
Yeah.
And the Leafs gave up a lot of easy opportunities. You know, like, conversely, the Leafs were a lot more careless. Turnovers, out of position. Samsonov did not have a good night.
Yeah.
Like, he did not. That second goal was a really awful, weird goal.
The Zacha
4-2 goal is a great shot, but you got to have that because you just made it 3-2 and the building's buzzing.
You got to make that save.
You got to make that stop.
And you know what? Nowadays, like it's called clear sight shots.
Oh,
that's a far like clear sight.
Yeah, exactly. Zacha is a snapshot from above the circles.
That's a clear shot from down the middle. Yes, give him full credit. Like you know, up on the screen, you're seeing the AJ Greer goal. Like, that's a good shot, a little bit of a broke. But this Zacha goal right there, like, it's a good shot. You need to make that
save. But you got
to
stop it.
You got to make that save.
Especially considering the timing.
Yeah,
3-2. Yarncroke just scored 3-2, exactly. Buzz in the building, you're alive, and now the game's over.
That's got to be a save.
4-2, game's over
last night.
So I didn't think he had a good night. No. He's entitled to that. Like, he's been very consistent. He's been very good. He's been very good at home.
Been forced to play too much.
Been forced to play a lot.
That's what it is.
And that's the scenario.
It looked it last night. And if you want to look big picture, they got a great record. They're the third best team in the league. But they've had a bit of nonsense going on lately. Like, they've had a couple burn-the-tape games in the last couple weeks. that hasn't been their identity for the majority of the season, other than the blip on the screen at the beginning of the year. So get healthy, get rested, go on break, get the big dog back in the middle, and pick it back up. But if you want to look towards the future,
right.
And Marchand touched on guys making big dollars. If you watch, the one takeaway I took from, I just watched two periods because I had to get out of there. If you watched the Boston Bruins, their depth showed up. And I know, like I said, it was a getaway game. I think Toronto just said, let's get this over with and get the hell out of here. But third and fourth lines, they got good players going out there. And if you're looking at a seven-game series, those bottom two lines could easily be a difference.
Yeah.
Like if you're talking about a matchup against the Leafs.
I saw it the same way. This isn't an overreaction to what happened last night.
No.
Right? It's one game. That happens. Yeah, there's ups and downs. That goes both ways. That's not what we're discussing here. But what is a truth? And what Kyle Dubas knows is Tampa and Boston have more depth than the Leafs. They have more depth, and there's a pretty good chance they're going to have better goaltending. Now, goaltending at any given
coin
time,
flip, bad 2 weeks,
it can't, exactly,
you know,
and
right?
It can go the other way,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
If it's Samsonov or Murray, they stand on their head. It's difficult to get a read on the goaltending. But, you know, what Marchand said yesterday, as we pointed out, was factual. Like, you look at last night, you got Taylor Hall, Charlie Coyle, they're on your third line.
Yeah.
You know, Nick Foligno on your third line. You've got guys that you can spread the wealth out. Pasternak's on a different line. You've got Marchand playing with Bergeron. You've got guys moving around. Zach is a good player. Yeah. Top 10 pick talent. It's come
real
alive.
Real quality six defensemen.
Yes.
Well, that was the one thing that I said to you. That was the one thing that I noticed. Like, that Carlo, he's tough to play against. Mm-hmm. It's a pain in the ass. And yes, should he have gotten a high sticking or a 4-minute? Yes. There was calls that were missed last night. We'll talk about that later. But their D are big and mean, and they've got skill, and they can move. That was the one thing. Like, that forward on the third pairing, he's a big guy. He leans on you. He jumped into the play. I think that's a Montgomery type of Boston style. Hey, jump into the play. But I like their D from 1 to 6.
Yeah.
Like that's
with the exception
D.
of Grizzlick, they take away space. They're not.
Yeah.
They are physical, but they're not stupid. They're not running around looking for massive hits. They're big bodies that move well. They have good hockey sense. They're smart, and they take away time and space. They squeeze you off on the wall, and they're just good. They're just a really good damn team to watch.
And
they needed that game too. They lost three straight going into that.
That's another. The other thing is. Like that Hampus Lindholm, he's big.
Dude, he's good, man.
He's a really
I never
good
really
player.
Thought a whole lot of that guy, maybe because Anaheim was kind of irrelevant the last.
But like we talked about it yesterday. Like McAvoy is, I think, is a stud. Lindholm is not far off. Mm-hmm. Like they've got a two pack there. It's not just one and a big drop off. Like that's what I'm saying. 1 to 6 is quite well balanced the way that they want it matched up. Big guy, you know, Clifton's not a big guy, but he moves the puck. And so you've got him with Forbert.
They're a modern-day D core where
exactly
they're not nasty. It's not Stevens and Danico where you're like, these guys are going to kill us. But what they can play almost any style of game.
Agreed. That's a good
and
point.
And that's where the Bruins are at. And listen, the Leafs depth, it's not like the Leafs have horrible depth. Like
their
players are good players. You can't be a top five team in the league and not have that. But it likely won't match between now and game one unless Dubas is really willing to spend. Like, that is one thing I do wonder where his head is at. Is Nyes on the table? Is Minton on the table? Are first-round picks on the table? Because you need multiple guys to try to catch up.
Yep.
You need multiple guys. And you need cap space, which makes it difficult to do. But what is likely going to be the case is it's going to get back to another scenario where Matthews, Marner, Nylander, Tavares have got to be
just
great.
Drag you through it.
They have to be great.
Say that.
That's what
say
has
that.
To happen.
When you're when we're doing the SportsCenter hits, it's tough to ignore what the star players are going to be doing because, like we talked about, if the Boston Bruins' third and fourth lines are kind of deeper and more experienced, you're like, okay, you guys are paid to be better than everyone else. Then I guess you got to do it. And if you don't do it, really noticeable.
And they will. Just over a seven-game series, there is going to be a game where you do need, maybe they cancel each other out. Last night was a prime example. It wasn't the Nylander, Tavares, Marner show versus Pasternak, Bergeron, and Marchand. I mean, we saw Zacha score. You know, you saw Greer score. It was farther down in the lineup. Those guys played okay. Mm-hmm. I didn't think Tavares had a great night. I didn't think Willie had a great night.
I thought Willie was okay last night. I thought he was moving at least. He was pretty good.
But it just, like, they, you know, they weren't littered all over the score sheet. And there would be nights where those star players cancel each other. Now you're deaf. Now, it might only be one game, but it might be a critical game.
Absolutely. That's it could be game seven, which is what it was last year.
Right?
And Nick Paul was the guy on the third line who said, all right, fine, I'll do it.
Right.
And that's where I think what Dubas is contemplating right now is, does he really go all in and try to get depth pieces where... But it's not just depth, not like fourth line guys. No, like, you want to push guys down.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you're talking a second line guy and maybe a guy who's third line by default.
Right.
Right? Like, I'll give you a goofy trade machine example, which, again, I don't know if this is even possible. I don't know if the price is right. I don't know if they're healthy. I don't know if the cap would work. But if you worked out a deal with St. Louis where you bring in Barbashev and O'Reilly.
Right.
O'Reilly's on the third line. Barbashev's a guy in the wing who could play on your second or third line. You've added two pieces, good pieces, if they're healthy.
That push guys
down. Then all of a sudden, Comp's on your fourth line.
Right.
Engvall's on your fourth line. Kerfoot's maybe on your fourth. Like, that's what you're talking?
Right.
Or does he double down and say, I get a big boy and go with five?
Right.
In other words, it's like, our depth is what it is, but it's Matthews, Tavares, Marner, Nylander, Timo Meier. You know, or Patrick, it's like, we're going to go a fifth guy and just say, we're pushing everything in.
Right.
Like, and five guys are going to have to do it.
My question for you on that, and everyone's been floating Meier, is they're going to be obviously doing their due diligence. Is Meier wired the same way as the other four?
I think he is in a similar way.
Are you comfortable with that? Yeah. Hey, it's just skill.
In what way?
Pushback.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's
I don't
not
know
hourly,
what the word
he's
is.
Not,
pushback, yeah, no. Is that the word? Or compete? Like, we're not saying the top four for the Leafs don't
unpredictability.
Compete. They work really hard. Like, John Tavares works his ass off. Mitch Marner. Like, I'm not challenging that. But they all have the same temperament. All play the same way.
Yes.
Right. Is Meier have that same...
I think he
is. Fall under that umbrella where I don't know who's available... You know, with that Evander Kane vibe, you know what I mean? Still play there, but just completely different than the other four.
Right. I don't have that answer for you, right?
What made me think last night, they paid a king's ransom for Nick Foligno. Nick Foligno looks like the player they wanted to acquire the other night, a couple of years ago. It's just he's healthy now.
Yes.
Right?
Yep. And he's a depth guy. Yeah, he's who we're talking about. Like, Nick Foligno, come playoff time, might be on their fourth line.
Right.
They acquire a piece. Nick's probably moving down.
Right.
Like, Foligno's going to be likely on their fourth line.
Mm-hmm. Right. He's on waivers early in the year.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, that's what you're dealing with. And again, the Leafs, they're still a really good team. Yep. They have a ton of talent. You're missing Matthews last night. That's a big miss.
Yeah.
It's a game where the Bruins are more desperate because they've lost three in a row. The Leafs are leaving. There's a lot of different variables that don't have to apply to what we think will happen in 2 months. But as we've been saying this week, you're 52 games in. There's sample size.
Right.
The Bruins have played 51. We know what they are. The Tampa Bay Lightning have 48 games. Based on points percentage, Tampa's now technically ahead of the Leafs.
Yeah.
That's going to be a race. Like, they're going to jockey back and forth.
It'll be a race, and we know what this team is. I think there will be some change, and should be.
There has to be.
Give yourself every opportunity.
You have to try to win this year.
I agree, because next year you don't know what Tavares looks like. You don't know if Willie's going to have a career year. You don't know who's stopping. We don't know who's stopping pucks right now down the stretch. You hope that both of them are healthy and available, but this is a year where they're having a good year. You need to
You're in a window. And you can't change that because other teams are playing well.
Right.
But what Boston's doing this year, there could be another team doing it next year. Yeah. You know, like Boston, Tampa, they're not going anywhere. Buffalo's coming. Those are games you circle. Those are games that get amplified for a reason. Boston looked really good, and you know, the Leafs didn't keep up.
Yeah.
The Bunting situation last night was a story unto itself. He's got to cool down.
Yeah, he's with
the
that.
You cannot that. Do that with the refs, man.
He's earned that, man.
You're just irritating them, and they're going to say, you know what? Every time you do something, I'm going to call a penalty on you, whether that's right or wrong. And it might be some subconscious stuff, But when you're screaming and trying to embarrass refs like that, and we talked about the temperament of the majority of the team, you need some of it because he's one guy that does bring it.
Yes.
But you got to channel it in the right direction.
Well,
and if he keeps that up, although any ref that's kind of old school, whether it be Wes McCauley or any kind of veteran ref, they're going to say, I'm not giving you the benefit of the doubt. I'm not calling penalties on you. And if you do something, I'm going to call it every time.
Well, clearly, it was a missed call. Like, I don't think anybody's doubting that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a missed call. It happens all the time. But you watch the way he plays. He agitates. He gets underneath the skin. He's chirping and that.
All the stuff
I love. Go back and watch their first goal, the Leafs' first goal. So Mitch Marner scores that goal. Watch what he does to Carlo. Right out of the play. Nobody points it out. Like, he actually pushes it, tries to push him over the goalie. Like, it's just plays like that. No problem. You get underneath the skin. But the ref might have saw that and go, you know, I'm going to give him a freebie. If it happens.
Mm-hmm.
You earn that reputation. And I don't mind. You play with the edge. You play in a gray area. You know, at the end of the day, he didn't get the calls last night. But you can't sit there in it and show up the refs.
He's just got to cool it a bit. Let's not turn it into something where he's a complete whatever.
No, I wouldn't.
Just cool it a little bit and keep doing what you're doing.
Well,
I love the way he plays.
Yeah, my approach to this is you can't be waving at the refs like that. Like, that's the difference. You're yelling because you got hit? Fine. You can yell. Go ahead. And I like his emotion. But what I'd like to see, and we've talked about this a lot, is filter that at the players instead of the ref.
Yeah, that's
fair. Right. Like, if a guy cross checks, you get up and whack him instead of yelling at the refs. Like, every once in a while, react to the player doing it.
Right.
Like, if you got an issue, like Marchand, what Marchand did, that was, they were fighting for a puck. It wasn't like Marchand tripped them on purpose or it was nasty. But I would have liked to see him go do something to him.
Give him a pop.
Go do something to him. Carlo's out of your weight class, but give him a whack, a two-hander.
Right.
Go at him. Go at the other players instead of always at the ref. Because the ref, you know, the ref, it's not going to help you. Every once in a while, fine. And I like his passion. That's not up for debate. It's needed on this team. But I think it can be more valuable if it's directed towards the opponent instead of the ref.
And one positive from last night, I will say Mitch Marner, every time he's on the ice, he works his ass off. Like, he did score a goal, and he makes good plays, but he works for the puck, and he... We talk about temperament or whatever. That guy works his ass off, and he's very competitive. And there's not a lot left in the tank for that kid when the game's over.
I'll
give him that.
And I think in terms of the effort last night in general, that's not what was a that wasn't the issue last night. I don't see a team that's mailing things.
Got away from him, and the idea of getting on a private bird after just got the best of him. And it's like, let's just get the hell out of here.
No, they're not.
Like
they're,
I said. Take the break, get the big boy back, and then just start building towards it. Because you had a couple weeks here where it's been up and down, the goaltender problems. Try to get everything together and gear up for the playoffs, and all will be good.
Yep.
Get health. Like, health is the key. And then the manager will do his thing. Like, he's not stupid. He understands. He's watching all the games, too, and digging into the numbers. And he knows so much behind the curtain about the temperament of guys and what they're capable of and what they believe they're capable of. So be interesting to see, like, leading up. Because I think you're starting to see, with the Horvat thing, little chatter.
Yeah.
I was talking to a couple people today that felt that it's starting to heat up a little bit here.
Yeah, I think, exactly. We're a month tomorrow. Right, from the deadline, and Dubas is well aware of what's out there. There could be more available between now and then.
Yeah,
but I think what I'm sure Kyle and company have determined is what they're willing to stomach in terms of what they're willing to give up.
Yeah,
right. Because at this point, that's all conjecture. You throw names out: Matthew Nyes, you know, Ronnie Hernevin. But I don't know who knows who they're willing to trade, who they want to trade, who they have a scouting report on. But they know that by now. They know what they're willing to do, how far they're willing to go. We'll find out in a month.
Yeah.
The Leafs are off until next Friday at Columbus. They got a home-and-home with Columbus next week. So we'll continue to look back on the game last night. Mike Johnson, Dave Poulin still to come later this afternoon. We got Bobby Marks coming up, the Raptors. How familiar was that last night? It's the same thing. It's a close game. They're in the ball game. It's a back-and-forth, and they find a way to lose.
Yeah.
It's every single night.
Dude, it's over.
Oh, absolutely.
And there, you know, they're moving, guys, when teams are, it's starting to flow into Twitter about bidding wars for OG. Like, yeah. You know it's on now.
Yeah, it's just a matter of who it is. Yeah. Like
Memphis and New Orleans don't want the other team to have OG. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, that's what you want when you're giving the guy up.
The Raptors are in a position of strength. Make no mistake there. They have a bunch of guys who are proven winners in their prime, not over the hill. All right, Overdrive has a pair of tickets to give away. Leafs Blue Jackets, February 11th. Every day this week, we will provide the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player, and tomorrow you'll have a chance to call in and name that Leaf. Today's clue, this former Maple Leaf's father was a member of Parliament. His former Maple Leaf's father was a member of Parliament.
Wow.
I have no idea. Making you work for these, man. Columbus, that's a big ticket.
I think Mark Fraser's dad is like a judge or something. Isn't he like
super... I don't know.
Super...
Fraser's from Ottawa, right?
He said no. Rod said no.
I think he... I mean, they have a very successful family.
And he's an Ottawa guy, right, Mark?
Yeah.
Yeah, we saw him up in the alumni box last year. We're hanging out with Mark Fraser.
Good guy. But I think his family's like ultra successful. That's okay. What came to mind. I thought his dad was like a judge or something.
Yeah, okay. All right. Now you're thinking.
Thinking outside the box.
Yeah, that's what you got to do. The Kelce brothers, they did their podcast yesterday. That was established. I haven't heard if they're doing one next week. Like, I didn't actually listen to it. But their parents... like, they are going to show up with the... No, because I owe you money. I owe you from
for
the golf.
For even.
From the golf. Everything's all even,
what
I think.
What was it, 40 or 50?
No, we're,
40.
We'll call
we're
it
all
equal,
even.
We'll
it's all good. It's no problem at all. We're starting from scratch. And I don't remember who I picked for Pebble. You put me on the spot. I totally forgot. I know I had McNeely. I'm taking him in every single tournament until he actually wins.
You took Fitzpatrick. Arad, who did he take?
I don't.
They didn't mark it down.
Yeah, the Butabi brothers back there. They don't know what they're doing.
Looking at the list.
Yeah.
There's no way that there's no way.
They don't know. Yeah, it's not going to matter. Harry Higgs is off to a good start. But I heard Ben Silverman, who's a Canadian who's out there, he got paired up with Aaron Rodgers as his celebrity for the Pro-Am.
Wow.
Benny Silverman, I think he got a sponsor's invite because he won on the Nationwide
Tour. That's right, the Corn Ferry. He won the Corn Ferry, and he's out there. And I don't think he's taken ayahuasca, but he's out there with Aaron Rodgers.
Enjoying himself.
That would throw you off. Like, if you're trying to compete and Rodgers is... I don't think he'd be on ayahuasca out there hacking it around Pebble, but anything's possible.
Never know.
Anything.
Anything is possible. All right, Dave Pullen, in about a half an hour. The Raptors, a very familiar situation last night. In the game,
right
they
there.
Jack a ton of shots, and they lose by 3 to Utah. And Utah has been one of the bigger surprises. Everyone thought Danny Ainge was tearing it down. In fact, he was, in terms of who he was trading away. But they got some pieces there, man. Markkanen, he's clicked there. That Kessler kid is a beast, and he was last night. Chat about it. We're joined now by ESPN NBA front office insider. Here's Bobby Marks. How you doing, Bobby?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Doing very well.
Bobby, give us the skinny here. When are the Raps pulling the pin on this? Because we've come to the conclusion that that's the only option. So when does that happen? It's got to be soon, doesn't it?
Yeah, I would think, 53-game sample, right? I think that's probably good enough as far as where we are.
We discussed that the other day, Bobby. It's like they've seen enough now. They don't need to get, like they were talking about, they want to see what happens on this road. No, there's enough there. Let's move on from it.
Yeah, the Utah game was pretty similar to, I guess, the Phoenix game. Like, they're kind of they're in it, and then we get to that, like, six-minute mark, and then, kind of things fall apart a little bit here. I think what we're going to probably see, we're going to see things pick up here. I think, 85% of deals in the last 4 years happened the week of the trade deadline. So I think we're kind of in a normal position where there's not much out there, where I think they'll get to a point this weekend. I think they've got a couple more games on this West Coast trip where you're going to have to make a decision, right? Like, I think certainly we know, right, the five guys. I think certainly Scotty, no. I think Pascal, highly unlikely. I think, I think Fred and Gary they got player options here. I don't think you're forced to do something just because they have a player option here. I think you can either work out if there's a deal in the offseason if you want to keep, or do a sign and trade. OG's the guy, right? I mean, like, that's the big, you know, you just mentioned Utah. I don't think you have to, you're not going to hit, you know, basically tear it down type territory. I think you can retool it, whether it be with draft picks, you know, multiple draft picks I think you can get for him, at least two, maybe three. I think you can probably get a package of young players. You know, I don't know if you can get a Donovan Mitchell type package and, or a, you know, Rudy Gobert type package. You know, you look at Utah, what they were able to get back. You mentioned Walker Kessler, who's played tremendous, and he was part of that here. But I think if, you know, if OG's the guy, and that, you know, you would have a list of teams probably lined up here. I think, I just mentioned this on TV earlier, I think the interesting thing is we've got this CBA that's being negotiated between the league and the Players Association. And, you know, OG's in a unique situation because he's extension eligible this upcoming offseason, but he's limited to only a 120% increase. And he's on a really good contract, and the likelihood is that he won't sign an extension here. However, there's a good chance that these extension rules are going to be changed, and it might give teams, you know, an opportunity to sign him to a more lucrative contract. And if teams know that going into Thursday, you might see a little bit more action here. So we'll probably still be in a little bit of holding pattern for the next, you know, 24, 48 hours, but I do think things will probably start picking up, Sunday, Monday.
Well, there are reports out there, and that's the world we're living in right now. Reports, rumors, sometimes it can be difficult to differentiate between the two, that there could be bidding wars out there for Anunoby, specifically teams in the West who, you know, multiple teams want him, and as much as they want him, they don't want him to go to the other team. Are you a believer in that? And if so, you know, how can the Raptors utilize that to their advantage?
Well, Masai is used to it. I mean, he did it in Denver, right? I mean, and I was part of that Nets front office when it was us in New York bidding for Carmelo, and he basically kind of pitted both teams against each other and, you know, got a haul for, you know, from the Knicks for Carmelo. I think, yeah, I mean, I think we've heard, you know, certainly Memphis, New Orleans, those are teams probably to maybe keep an eye on. They've, you know, I think the teams that have all their draft picks, you know, in the next 7 years, as well as picks from other teams, young players, the contracts, I mean, those are the teams that kind of really make sense here as far as, you know, either team. It's interesting, you know, Memphis really doesn't do that, right? They really, they're a team that's built through the draft, 11 players on their roster. They don't like to trade draft picks. They like to draft. New Orleans is in 10th right now, and a lot of it has to do with Zion out. And when he's healthy, that's the big if. You know, they're in the top four, top five here. So it will be interesting. The other thing, too, guys, it's like it's you know, we signal the All-Star game as a midseason mark, but we got 28, 29 games for some of these teams here. So if you're going all in, and you get this player for 20 games, you better hope for it's not just for this season; it's for the for the foreseeable future.
Bobby, Masai Ujiri, the handling of DeMar when he moved him for Kawhi—that's obviously a home run out of the park. They win the world championship, but how important is this segment of his tenure in Toronto? The way he handles this team and the direction moving forward. Do you think that? It almost seems like when you're running a team and you win a championship, you get a grace period of a long time. But isn't this a really important kind of juncture in the season for him, to the way he's going to handle this?
Yeah, because we're close to, I guess we're in normalcy, right? I mean, the year after they won it, we had COVID. The following year, they're in Tampa, right? Last year they finished, in the top six. They have a really good series. You know, competitive series against Philadelphia here, and now you're kind of at a crossroads. I don't want to say we're back to 2021 and it's Kyle and Norman Powell again here, but every player, you know, your core guys, there's question marks for all five of them, you know, either now or moving forward here. And you are at this critical juncture because we've said, you know, when we started, it's like, you know, 23 and whatever, 30, 31 here. There's 54 games of body of work. It's a good, I like their starting five here, but there's something that either, whether it be we can talk about the bench or maybe one of the starters, it's not working. You know, it's not working at all. And if it's not, you know, how do you fix it, without kind of, you know, risking, you know, the future?
Is Scotty Barnes a franchise type player for you?
Now, no. I think he's got the upside to be. I think he's taken a little bit of a step back here. But I think there's the makeup to become a franchise player. I think next year is going to be critical for him. You know, that's going to be year three. He's going into a contract year. You know, he'll probably get a max contract because that's usually what happens with franchise level type players. Maybe not right now I don't see him, where Kevin Durant was, in his second year. I don't see him where Ja was in his second year, like those type of players. So for right now, no. I do think he's got, we use that word a lot, potential. He's got the potential to be.
Chatting with Bobby Marks of ESPN. Nick Nurse, we're talking about Masai earlier in the grace period after you win a championship. The same thing was applied to Nick. And the year after, the COVID year, he wins Coach of the Year. And he is still he's a great coach, and he's beloved here in Toronto. But there have been some rumors that maybe the players don't love his style anymore, or some of the players, and maybe there's some frustration from the front office because he refuses to play his bench. He refuses to find a rotation. I mean, even last night, you have Scotty playing, 41. Fred's playing a ton. Ananobi, when he's healthy, is playing a ton. Like, he's playing these guys into the ground. Do you think Nick Nurse is in a position where the front office could make either a decision on him in the offseason or try to force his hand into possibly changing the way he operates?
Yeah, I would say that every coach has an expiration date, right? We just don't know when, probably except for Pop in San Antonio. We just don't know when it's going to be. Is it this offseason for Nick? Is it the following year? Probably not during the season here. It's hard. It's a hard line, when you're in the front office and you want, I've been there, when you want your coach to play certain players. And it's not like you're telling them that this player has to start or anything like that. But you guys know the minutes. The minutes are ridiculously high.
Yeah.
There's a wear and tear factor to it. I think, that's why I'm probably more hesitant giving Fred a big number, just because he's played, the second most minutes behind Harden in the last 4 years. And there's been some injuries here. And, yeah, I think that's a concern, especially for guys who are going to be a free agent or coming there that are looking for that next contract, is that you're going to play a significant amount of minutes under him. And I don't know it didn't change last year. I don't see it changing this year at all here. There's been some nice moments when you've gotten, Precious, whether Chris, Thaddeus, some of those other players here, but, it's a hard thing to do as far as, from the front office to the coach, as far as basically telling him who to play.
Yeah, yeah. I think he's sending a message back to management, clearly. They deserve a lot of heat. Like Masai and Bobby, they don't have depth. They don't have shooting. They don't have rim protection. Again, we're 50-plus games in. We know this. And they know it, and Nick knows it. So we'll see. A couple games left on this roadie and a week left before the trade deadline. Always great to catch up with you. Thank you for doing this, Bobby.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
You got it. Bobby Marks, ESPN NBA front office insider. So, to recap, he thinks Ananobi's probably the guy you're looking at.
But it's got to be more than that, doesn't it?
Yeah, it just depends on what the value is, right? Like, what's available. Because I think Van Vliet's in the same spot Lowry was in a couple years ago, where he's playing a lot better recently. He had a triple-double last night. He started to shoot the ball really well.
Yeah, he looked really good.
He looked really good.
Good timing.
Very good timing, right? And still a guy that, when he's healthy, can be a really quality perimeter defender on guards, can shoot. He's a good player.
But people get paid big dollars to recognize maybe we got the best out of you, and maybe it's time to move on, and somebody will be tricked into thinking they're going to get five more years of what you did 3 years ago, because it's not going to be us.
Yeah. I think that's reasonable. Like that is,
and it's not a slight. I love the guy. He's a massive player in the city of Toronto as far as the sports landscape.
But eventually there'll be a decline, right? You got to get out in front of that.
That's great. That's what management, you have to do it. You got to make that call. And even if it's not the next year or two, it's 4 or 5 years down the road. Like, if you commit long term and it's not there at the end. I think they are going to trade one of these guys. Someone's going to go, I think, between now and the deadline. The question is, how deep do they cut?
Right.
Is it Ananobi and Van Vliet? I don't think Siakam's going. I just don't see that. trend, it's certainly possible.
You can also make these moves or some moves in the offseason.
Exactly.
There's nothing
that's more
pressing
likely
to do it right now.
Yeah, that's more likely, I think.
Right?
And from that, that's why I don't think we're talking three guys going out.
Yeah.
You know, depth pieces, maybe Thaddeus Young gets moved or something, or you got to add pieces to make the money work with the trade. But
right.
I think one of them will go, whether it's Anunoby, Van Vliet, or Trent. One of them, maybe two, and if it's two, that's them saying, you know, we're really changing things here. We're right. really going to move in a different direction. But it's another loss again last night. They played 53 games.
Yeah.
They get 29 games left, right? Like, even with them playing everybody, Anunoby's hurt. He wasn't playing last night. You're still finding a way to lose. It's a dignified tank because you're not embarrassing yourself.
No, they're playing hard.
You're not getting
hard
blown out. You're not... There's no scandal.
I love a dignified tank.
It's a dignified tank. It's an unplanned,
yeah.
dignified tank, and that's where they are. All right, Dave Poulin still to come in about 20 minutes. The All-Star Game has arrived in the NHL, everyone's favorite weekend.
Dude.
We're jacked up.
Take a break and I'll talk. Like I just.
And we've got, who do you trust more, yeah. the groundhog or ...
I love this.
Not the poor guy in Quebec. R.I.P.
Yes. We're talking Punxsutawney. We're talking Wyarton. We're talking Schubert Nakati.
Is that what it's called?
Out east, yeah. Charcuterie.
I got the wrong name for the lady, the security lady. It's Jolynn.
Jolynn.
Jolynn down at Scotiabank.
We love
security.
Her.
Security.
We're a huge
crony.
Fan.
She's a crony.
She is crony. A crony. That's a positive. That's a compliment in our world.
Yeah. And shout out to Tyler, who runs the alumni box.
Yes.
He's a legend.
Love Tyler.
Chicken penne pasta.
Did you say hi for me last night?
Yeah, I always do.
I hope so. Overdrive continues.
I didn't. He asked about my wife, and I didn't mention your name.
TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. Happens every year. I butcher how to say charcuterie out in Nova Scotia.
Yes.
Charcuterie Sam. Schubert Nakati, I think. That's how I pronounce it. And then people out east who are watching the show, right, and they get really angry.
But why did they get angry?
What
it's a groundhog.
His name's Charcuterie Sam?
No, the town is actually pronounced Schubert Nakati. Schubert Nakati.
Schubert Nakati.
Schubert Nakati Sam. But I think Charcuterie Sam's better.
Sounds better.
That offends people, though. Go with Shubenacadie Sam.
Shubenacadie Sam, yeah. Ann tweeting in, really not happy. Chris isn't happy.
Well, I mean, if
Andrew's not happy.
Why, is it because of this,
Matt,
the name of the city, or that they care about the groundhog that much?
I think it's the city.
Okay,
I guess,
enough. If you butcher the city's name, I get that, and we respect it. You want to make sure. Who cares about the groundhog? Nobody cares about the groundhog.
Yeah, but that's if your whole identity is the groundhog, this is your day. You got to have it. Like, so, you got to be able to pronounce the town.
Shubenacadie.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
Shubenacadie.
Shubenacadie Sam.
Yeah, David tweeting. Like, there are really people actually not happy with us.
Well.
We have a lot of people watching out in Nova Scotia. That's great.
We should give them more love then. Shubenacadie
Sam.
No, just the city and the people out there, we love them.
Yeah, we're big fans. We're big fans. I won't make that mistake again.
We don't care so much about Sam.
You know what?
We care about Shubenacadie.
The Groundhog Day is me butchering the name.
That's
every year on Groundhog Day. It's Groundhog Day. Come on here, and I'm going to butcher that name. So I can't
play in the Groundhog Game.
You want to do it at 5:30?
Yeah.
It feels like a prime time bet.
It does. We do need to do it right in the middle of prime time.
It's just called Who Do You Trust?
Yeah, who do you trust more? Who or what do you trust more? A groundhog predicting the weather, or, and I'll give you a different scenario.
Wow.
You know, or a different person or a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like
And you've
it.
Got 8 minutes if you can come up with a real clever name for who do you trust.
Yeah, we do need some help. People out in Shubenacadie, come up, give us something
give us
we
some
could
love.
Name
yep.
this properly, right? Something with groundhog, I don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
Because I'm not creative enough to come up with a name. Names I struggle on, I'll admit. I can come up with, like, the essence of the bit,
yeah,
the name.
That's the name of the
not
bit.
Not my thing.
Listen, the bit will be fine. We're excited about it because I think there's so many things you can throw in there. Who do you trust this? Who do you trust that? Like, this is awesome.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to that game.
There's a lot. I got a pretty decent list.
Yeah.
But, again, if you have more, please send them in, too. You know, there's, because I think we'll come up with more on the fly. We'll just jam up Joe from the Bridge because he's going to try to keep up with it on TV.
Yeah.
And we'll just keep throwing out different ones. And
he'll hate our guts by 5:37.
Yeah, he probably will. He probably will.
Yeah, Matt writes us in and says they just call it Shuby out there.
Shuby.
Yeah.
Shuby Sam. Well, did he see his shadow or not? I mean, that's the thing. No one even pays attention to that part of it. You just got to pronounce things right.
And some other dope writes in that I'm talking like an idiot because I don't care about the groundhog. I really
that's
don't
a
care
shame.
About the groundhog.
Nobody
yeah.
does.
So,
I hate to break it to you, but guess what? But the groundhog doesn't care about you.
Well, yeah. What I don't get is who informs the groundhog if he saw his shadow or not?
Nobody knows.
That's what I don't understand.
Yeah. All he wants is food or whatever. They're going to give him food and water.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's going to be a bribery for him to come out. Like, he's not doing it. You're not training this groundhog to do anything.
Maybe they're smarter than we think. I don't know.
It's a whole production.
Get out of here. Come on, Sam.
It's a whole production.
It might be.
The goofy suits, the top hats.
Yeah.
People are freezing, you know, and they're waiting for the groundhog to tell them what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's coming up at 5:30. Dave Poulin will join us on the Leaf-Bruin game last night and the All-Star Weekend. We'll get into a number of things with Pooley about the All-Star Weekend, including this Bo Horvat. He's an Islander, but he's going to represent.
I had the same thing happen in the same city. Ozalinch got traded, and he had to play on the Eastern team when he was a member of the Anaheim Ducks, and he was pissed.
Really?
Okay. All right, good. We'll get into that story as well. So we got Groundhogs, we got Pooley coming up, Mike Johnson still to come, more into the Super Bowl and what we're hearing on the health of Mahomes, Hurts, et cetera. Hour 2's up next. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.